Okay, good morning. It's a privilege to be able to speak this morning. I've really enjoyed the time digging into Mark's gospel this week, so I hope that you get something that you can take away for this morning as well. So we're continuing with our new series, which is Meet Jesus, Be Transformed. And Matt kicked us off last week looking at the beginning of Mark, where we saw how Mark fits within the context of the other Gospels and kind of what audience Mark might have been writing for. And Matt also went over Jesus and John the Baptist, looking at Jesus' baptism and the first disciples as well. I'm going to hand over now to Rowan, who's going to come and read the Bible passage for us.
They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was.
Brilliant. So when I was taking a look through these verses, I was having to think about who is Jesus. We're looking at this series of meeting Jesus and being transformed. And I think it's really easy, maybe if you've known Jesus for a while, to become over familiar, to read through the Gospels and you're just kind of skim reading and not really taking a deeper look at what's going on. And I thought maybe it's not just me who can be like that. Sometimes there could be others here today, or maybe you've not really met Jesus before. Maybe he's someone you've heard other people talk about. So I just really encourage you this morning, whilst we're engaging with Mark, to think, who is Jesus? How well do we really know him? Are there new aspects of his character this morning that we can grasp a hold of that we've not seen before? Yeah, thank you very much, Rowan, for reading the Bible passage. So we've got the scene set here in Capernaum. I wasn't really sure where it was, so I thought I'd do a quick Google and have a look. So Capernaum was on the Sea of Galilee. It was a really rich town with lots of wealth. There was a lot of decadent living and also a lot of sin. And it was also the headquarters of lots of different Roman troops. There's a little map here that shows just how vast the empire was at the time. So it would have been a real melting pot of ideas, different pagan influences from all around this region. So it was the perfect place for Jesus to come to challenge both Jews and non-Jews with the good news of his kingdom. Okay, so looking at the beginning of the passage, there's a little heading of Jesus teaches with authority. When Jesus was teaching, he was in a synagogue. And I was trying to take another step back and not just think, all right, a synagogue, that's a bit like a church. I thought, okay, I'll have a bit of a closer look and see if there's more to a synagogue than I knew before. So having a look, it was a place of education, not just of worship. And they were synagogues were built as the temple was too far away in Jerusalem for many people to travel to. On each Saturday, on the Sabbath, Jewish men would go along and listen to teachings of the scriptures. And I thought this was really interesting. There wasn't actually a permanent rabbi in the synagogues necessarily. So the leader of the synagogue would invite different traveling rabbis to come along and speak. And that was why often Jesus had the opportunity to speak at synagogues where he was visiting. Okay, so we're going to have a think now about authority, taking that step back again, thinking what does authority make us think of? How might we respond to it? In our world today, we might see authority as like police or maybe a boss, someone with a manly authority, authority given by people on earth. I thought it would be good to have a think, like, how do we see authority? And how do we respond to it? And we're going to watch a little clip here that's taken from Despicable Me. So if you've not seen it before, this character with the very long pointy nose is Gru. He's a bit of a supervillain. And we're going to watch this clip where he takes three young girls into his home to look after them. So have a think about authority as well. You're having a little watch of the clip. Fingers crossed it'll work.
Okay, here we are, home sweet home.
So, this is like your house? Wait a sec. You're the guy who pretended he was a recorded message.
No, that was someone else. No.
When we got adopted by a bald guy, I thought this would be more like Annie.
These are not treats. These are guests. Girls, this is Kyle, my dog.
Ooh, fluffy doggy.
What kind of dog is that?
He's, I don't know.
Do you really think this is an appropriate place for little kids? Because, it's not.
No, no. Stay away from there, it's fragile. Well, I suppose the plan will work with two.
Hey, it's dark in here.
I poked a hole in my juice box.
As you can see, I have provided everything a child might need. All right. Okay. As I was saying... Hey! Oh!
Somebody broke that.
Okay. Clearly, we need to set some rules. Rule number one. You will not touch anything.
What about the floor?
Yes, you may touch the floor.
What about the air?
Yes, you may touch the air.
What about this?
Ah! Where did you get that?
Found it.
Okay, rule number two, you will not bother me while I'm working. Rule number three, you will not cry, or whine, or laugh, or giggle, or sneeze, or burp, or fart. So, no annoying sounds, right?
Does this count as annoying?
Very. I will see you in 6 hours.
Okay. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to be really happy here. Right? Agnes?
Okay, so I kind of did a bit of a long-winded link, really, to get that clip in, but I thought it was nice and funny. So here we see Gru kind of unsuccessfully trying to establish his authority with the little girls, ruling off a list of rules that they managed to find all the problems with. But when we look back at Mark, we see that the people responded in a very different way to Jesus' authority. And they were amazed at his authority. And they found that, you know, he was teaching with a real sense of power with what he had to say, not like the other teachers of the law. So Jewish teachers would often quote established rabbis when they were teaching the scriptures to try and put a bit of the authority into what they were saying. But Jesus didn't need to do that. Like, Jesus is God. He is the ultimate authority. He had full weight with everything that he was saying. So he knew exactly what the scriptures meant. He came and he fulfilled the scriptures. So he didn't need to go and refer to anybody else at all, because he embodied that authority. Okay. And we were thinking earlier about, like, who is Jesus? And we move on here to the part of the story where Jesus is in the tabernacle, he's spoken with authority, and there's a man who's there in the synagogue who has an impure spirit within him. And this spirit cries out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." So this unclean, impure spirit recognizes Jesus instantly. He knows straight away who he is, the Holy One of God. And like, we don't have to fear evil spirits or impure spirits, because as we go through the Gospels, we'll see that every time the demons confronted Jesus, they lost their power. And we know that Jesus ultimately conquered all sin, all darkness, when he rose from the dead. And so we don't need to fear that. We've got Jesus alive in us. And here, as the impure spirit confronts Jesus, we see Jesus with a secret. We kind of already know the end to the story. We know that Jesus is the Messiah. We know that he conquered all, that he's all powerful, he's got all authority. But at this point in Mark, the people around wouldn't necessarily have known that. They know, oh, there's a rabbi, there's something a bit different about him. And then there's this spirit confronting him, and Jesus commands him to be silent. Because here we see Jesus with a secret. It's not the time yet for Jesus to reveal who he is. And this picture is a bit sinister. Like, "I know who you are," are all written in bold capital letters. And I think in a way, the demon was being a bit sinister too, because it wasn't part of God's plan yet for Jesus to reveal that he was the Son of God. And so he commands the spirit to be silent and then casts him out of the man. And again, we see the response of the people who were there at the synagogue. And they were astonished. So they've been amazed at Jesus' authority. And now they're astonished because they've just witnessed Jesus free this man from the impure spirit that was living within him. And it says in verse 27, the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." So we're here, we're only 25, 27 verses into Mark, and we're just hit with Jesus' authority and power as the evil spirit leaves the man immediately. So Mark is really establishing Jesus' credentials, showing us that even the spiritual underworld recognized Jesus as the Messiah. Okay, so moving on to look at the second part of the passage, Mark 1, verses 29 to 34, we see that Jesus heals many people. So Mark is very action-packed. We've just been at the synagogue, and now we follow Jesus as he leaves the synagogue and enters the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, his other disciples. And in the house, Simon's mother-in-law is ill with a fever, and they tell Jesus about her. And Jesus simply takes her by the hand and lifts her up, and the fever leaves her instantly. And the first thing she does is cook them a meal. I love that. I think that's brilliant. There's no, like, just taking a bit of time, sitting on the sofa to recover. It's just straight, like, they're getting to work, cooking up some food. And then that evening, we see that news about Jesus and what he'd done in the synagogue had travelled really quickly. And it said that the whole city was gathered outside the door. Just masses and masses of people who were sick, who were struggling with impure spirits and demons. And they were all there waiting for Jesus. And we see here that Jesus healed many of these people who were sick, and he cast out the demons. And at the very end, in verse 34, it says he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. So again, Jesus is maintaining that secret, not revealing his identity yet. So I think Mark is really underlining the authority that Jesus had. We see Jesus' authority over sickness, as well as authority. Another key theme is immediacy. So the word immediately is used over 40 times in Mark, which for a small book is an awful lot of times. And Mark 1, we see a connection between this authority and the immediacy. So it might be that Jesus is immediately acting on something, or that people are responding to Jesus immediately. And it could be thought that Mark is trying to link these two concepts to show his audience that when we witness Jesus' authority, we need to respond with a timeliness. We don't need to kind of hang around and take our time thinking over things necessarily, because Jesus is God. He has unique power over all of creation. He has authority over everything. He has the power to call, to command, and to control the world in which we live. Okay. So looking back at that first question, who is Jesus? These acts of his teaching with authority, driving out a demon, healing many people, demonstrate his unique authority, the authority that Jesus had been given by God. And at this point in history, as the people were seeking their Messiah, Jesus was the only one who could say that the time is fulfilled, the time has come, that the promised Messiah had come. And everything in the Old Testament about this promised Saviour for Israel was about to be fulfilled. So Jesus had the authority, as Matt spoke about last week, to call the fishermen to leave their nets and become fishers of men. And we see also, only through the power of Jesus can we be healed from disease or from evil spirits. Jesus alone can silence the very demons that possessed and tormented the people in the passage here. But it's not just about seeing the authority of Jesus. Mark also wants us to have a timely response to that. So when Jesus called Simon and Andrew, they immediately responded. When Jesus commanded the demon to leave, it obeyed without any delay. So we can see here that maybe there's something for us with reflecting on the authority of Jesus. Perhaps there's an area where we need to immediately obey as well. So I've got a couple of questions here that we can have a think through. just reflecting on what Jesus' authority might mean to us. So, does the one who proclaims repentance and announces the kingdom have my undivided attention? When Jesus invites me to follow him, do I drop everything and obey? When Jesus moves to free me spiritually, do I boldly trust his authority to do what I cannot do myself? How can I share the amazing news about Jesus' power with others? So some of these questions are really meaty and quite difficult to answer, but I think if we're looking at them within that context of understanding the authority of Jesus, then he deserves to receive our full attention and our full devotion. And we see lots of opportunities, I think, through what church is doing to respond to Jesus. So we've got things like the Cafe 22, Seesaw, Food Bank, that's responding with the call to make disciples, to share the good news about Jesus. But we can also do this through our daily lives, in the workplaces, if we're out doing the food shop, things like that, so we meet different people. Okay, so we're going to take a bit of time to have a think through these questions now. There's just one last little quote that I'd like to read to you. It says, "None of us can ignore Jesus. None of us can simply disregard him. There is no neutrality to his authority. What is your response?"